The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Its skull does not fully close at the end of development, and it means 0% chance of survival. And that began our journey. We decided to keep, we found out it was a little girl, and we decided to keep her full term as long as she would survive. And we started walking a road we never saw coming.
In a sea of unanswerable questions, Brooke Martin's faith and vulnerability brought healing, resistance, and recovery. Next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. This is Tammy Trent. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
I like that color. It's very
Thank
nice.
You.
It's very,
Thank
I mean,
you.
It's a little after the season, but it's a good color.
Anyway. Thanks.
We're excited that you're here. If you happen to live in the Indianapolis area, you may have seen today's guest for many years on your local news as a news anchor. But Brooke Martin is with us. She has a book out called Controlled Burn, and she has been through a lot. Mm-hmm. And we're here to hear her story today. We're excited that you're with us. Welcome to the program, Brooke.
Thanks.
Good
Thanks,
to
Randy.
See you.
Thanks, Tammy. It's such an honor to be with you.
It's great to talk to you again. I got to talk to you online. Now, Tammy, you just met her today.
I did, but I did go back and listen to that interview that you guys did together, and I was all in.
Yeah.
She is amazing, Randy, so I'm so glad that she's here today. Yeah.
So, where do we even start,
Where to begin.
I know.
Yeah,
jump in a little bit with your story, because I know it's been a tough time in a lot of ways, but a beautiful time.
Yeah. It all started in the fall of 2018. I was a news anchor in Indianapolis, had a young family. Our son was 2 at the time, and I had my dream job. We were living in a beautiful city that we loved, and life just felt really shiny and bright. Mm-hmm. And we found out we were pregnant with our second child. And so, as local news tends to do, we made a cheesy video, announcement video, that I was pregnant. And, you know, we were inundated with well wishes, and viewers become like family. And so everything was great until I started to develop a really bad cold. I ran into my OB on my way into work one day, and I was alone. And the OB prescribed a Z-Pack and said, before you leave, you want to sneak in and see the baby. And so it was there that they made a terrible discovery that our child had anencephaly, which is a condition where the baby continues to develop perfectly well, except its skull does not fully close at the end of development. And it means 0% chance of survival. And tears just were streaming down my face. I was so confused, didn't know what it meant, really. And then I heard a whisper so clearly to my heart of Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. I'll be totally honest with you. I was brought up a Christian, but in that moment of confusion, all I could connect it with was Christmas. And I wasn't really sure.
Right.
Like, why am I hearing this name?
Right.
What does it mean for me? When I just received, you know, devastating news, what does it mean? And that began our journey. We decided to keep, we found out it was a little girl. And we decided to keep her full term as long as she would survive. And we started walking a road we never saw coming.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm curious, when you heard Emmanuel, were you praying, or did that kind of come out of the blue? Where were you spiritually?
Nowhere. I was literally in a cloud of just, chaos and confusion mentally.
Sure.
So I was not praying. I was in desperation mode. And it speaks to that God will meet you where you are.
Yes.
He will cut in through the chaos, through the confusion, and deliver a message. And what I thought, I was like, wow, like he is delivering a message so clearly that I thought probably to the world who is now watching, because our story went viral and people were really confused. Why are you caring? How are you doing this? You're anchoring the news every night as you're, you know, growing. And what I realized was that he was personally delivering a message to my husband and I, that the world got to witness and watch, but he is a personal God. And he was speaking to us that that God with us means everything will change when you truly understand the revelation of what that means.
Is that what the message was for you?
Yeah, I think the message unfolded piece by piece.
Really? Okay.
I grew in it. You know, really? I really, I'm not going to pretend that I was like, got it. Okay, this
right,
is making
right.
this easy now.
Yes.
It was a learning. It was a growing myself. You know, it was, I say, I may have delivered Emma Noel, we named her after her namesake, but Emmanuel delivered me through her, because the journey, the process, walking through the fire, left us completely transformed.
Given that outlook, the probability they're saying zero, what was the doctor's recommendation at that moment?
Yeah, well, we were at a Catholic hospital, so you would think you would know what the recommendation would be, and it wasn't. We were taken immediately. My husband rushed to the hospital. We were taken to the maternal fetal department, and my first question was, what happens next? Because I assumed this meant she would die in utero at any point.
Yeah.
I had never walked through that procedure. And the first thing the doctor said was, we don't do it here, but you can go to Planned Parenthood. And I was so confused. I thought, Planned Parenthood for a DNC? Like, why?
Right, right.
And then my husband's voice shot through the silence, and he said, we're keeping the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him, mm-hmm. and then it all started clearing, and I was like, oh, they're suggesting abortion. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until we got home that I realized why over 85% of anencephaly pregnancies are terminated. Mm-hmm. So I understand, but it didn't lessen the pain, and it didn't lessen the reality of what others are, you know, recommended to do sometimes that day,
yes,
right?
Right?
In the confusion.
Yes. Yep.
And it broke my heart.
How did you prepare, Brooke, when I think about how you stewarded this whole journey, knowing that Emma Noel had 0% chance of survival? How did you prepare your heart to say hello, but then to say goodbye in just 21 minutes?
Yeah. It was a six-month period of grieving, honestly, but also getting to know her, understanding that she could hear me.
Mm-hmm.
It was a scheduled C-section, and so we walked in on the prayers of thousands, and the surgery room was filled with peace. And she was born alive, which is not always the case.
Wow.
And so the nurse handed her to my husband, and I watched him just with furrowed brow, just look at his daughter. And the nurse remarked that when I answered the anesthesiologist, she turned her head to me, recognizing her mama's voice.
Jeez.
This is life. This is relationship. And he handed her to me. And I got to say those things that I had been waiting so long to tell her, that I was so proud of her. And I asked her if she knew how much of an impact she was making. And then I told her she could go. And I handed her back to my husband, and that's where she passed 21 minutes later.
Wow.
It was sacred. It was so special. And then thanks to a device called a cuddle cot, which is like a cooling bassinet, she was actually able to be with me in the hospital room for my 2 days of recovery afterwards.
Wow, bro.
So it was a time of bonding and closure. But really the day that I had dreaded the most was the day of discharge. You know, it wasn't even her death. It was the day that I couldn't understand.
Oh, yeah.
How does a mother physically walk out of a hospital room and leave her child behind?
Right, yes.
And that morning, I woke up with tears already streaming down my face, and I cried out to God, and I said, I can't. I can't do this part. And I meant it with everything in me. I cannot do this. And it was in that instantaneous moment that I felt a physical surge of strength that started in my feet, and it rushed through my body. I felt this weight. I was laying on a hospital bed, and it fell on top of me, like weighty peace from heaven. And in that moment, Emmanuel became real.
Yeah.
And I realized this isn't just another name for God. This isn't just some platitude that we use as Christians. God is, in fact, with us. And the fact of that should change everything.
Yeah.
And so we were able to rock her that morning and hand her to a nurse who continued to rock her as we left. And we got in the car and we looked at each other and we smiled. And it wasn't because the grief was gone, you know, nothing like that. It was because we just realized everything we said we believed our lives as Christians is true. That nothing can defeat us because of Jesus Christ. Death couldn't hold him down, and it can't hold us down either. And it became, it made us insatiable for the things of God. That power that I experienced in that hospital room, all I wanted was more of it. I realized, like, I had been taking a penny of what he was offering me my whole life when the riches of heaven were at my disposal. And Emmanuel made me realize, like, we are transformed forever.
You use the word sacred. And it's really hard for us to understand, I think, sometimes the brevity of life. Mm-hmm. Scripture says it's a vapor, and 21 minutes feels like a vapor.
Yeah.
How has your view of life mm-hmm. and death and eternity mm-hmm. expanded?
Mm. It has expanded by understanding how much we don't know.
Right.
Oh, goodness,
right.
Yeah.
It has expanded in understanding that his ways truly are greater than ours. You know, his thoughts are so above what we can imagine. And so I have grown to understand that life is more important than we can possibly fathom. Mm. And that death, too, is ultimately his. I mean, Jesus says, I have authority. When he's talking to Martha after Lazarus died, he looks at her, and she's so concerned about him getting raised. And he looks at her and he says, I have authority over death. Mm. Meaning, like, stop thinking that outcomes are what are important. It's me. I am what is important, and you need to know me in this. Mm-hmm. Yes, her brother did raise from the dead, but Emma did not. But the message is the same. I am what's important here in this equation, because ultimately we will be reunited with our loved ones who are in heaven. But for now, this is our chance, this side of heaven, to know Jesus and his suffering. And to know him, which he says, this is eternal life, right? It's not heaven that he says, this is eternal life, that they know the one and true God. That's what we're here for.
So what do you say to somebody that is struggling mm-hmm. in their suffering to find God, to find hope? Like, many people feel like part of their suffering has been punishment. God doesn't care. He doesn't understand. And it's hard for them. We will often choose to stay in it, can become our identity. But what do you say to the person that just, everything you said, I know that that's to be true, life, and I can get through this, and I can grow closer to Jesus. But there are many people that struggle with suffering and the very thought of what that really means and how it can bring us closer to Jesus. What would you say to somebody that's just really struggling to understand that and just doesn't want to even let go of it?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I understand. And, you know, I think that was part of the reason that I wrote this book, is we heard from countless people who were drowning in loss, in despair, in hopelessness. And it burdened my heart, because here we had experienced transformation, a forged faith. And yet I knew there were many others who were wrestling and couldn't get out. And so it's the whole message of this book. But what I would say to them is that we have a choice to go after proof of God's goodness, of his purposes, of who he really is, his character, or we have a choice to go after his presence. But it means, what are we going after? Because ultimately it's our choice.
Yeah.
And if we go after his presence, he has a perfect track record of redeeming every ounce of our pain. He will meet us there, but ultimately, it really is our choice.
Yeah, you know, a forged faith, as you said, only comes through fire.
Mm.
And that fire oftentimes just destroys people.
Yeah.
You know? The title, Controlled Burn, of the book, that suggests a fire, but not destruction. Mm. Why did you choose that? What are you communicating there?
Well, I didn't choose it, in all honesty. I feel like it was given to me. As I was driving down the road one day, I feel like I was being called out of news, which was very scary, because I had built my life building a career in TV news. And I asked God what was next. And I saw a picture of a burned out forest in the back of my mind. And with it came the words, controlled burn. Mm. And I got really quiet, because I knew he was speaking, but I had no idea what,
right,
that meant.
What that meant.
And piece by piece, he started downloading this illustration of life's fires taking one of two divergent paths. Our pain, like you said, Randy, it can grow out of control, and it can turn into wildfires that can destroy for generations. Mm. I mean, think about the trauma that turns into addiction, that turns into the death of a loved one, or the affair that turns into the divorce, that turns into a fractured family.
Yeah.
These are life's wildfires. We've all experienced them, or at least witnessed them. But there's a better way, and there are controlled burns. And if you're familiar with that, you know, the actual purpose of controlled burns, it is to rid a landscape of multiple things, invasive species, right? But to renew the ecosystems there. And I felt like God said, if your life's fires are bordered intentionally with my promises and my provision and my power, suffering can actually burn away is holding us back from his presence, things that have grown, maybe even unknowingly, in our life's forests.
That's good.
It can burn it away and leave behind nutrient-rich soil that can grow things in us that could have never grown without the fire.
Incredible.
And I went home to my husband. I said, okay, sit down. I had this vision, and I feel like I'm supposed to leave my job. And he looked at me, and he said, do it. Immediately, because it was like we had been through the fire, we had been forged, things were growing in us now, trust, you know, like supernatural things that we made us make really crazy decisions.
Yeah.
And so I did, and I just realized, like, I want to get this illustration into people's hands to help them walk through life's fires, because what is on the other side is so remarkable, but so often we are trying to jump out of the fire, right? You see it with our decisions. We're trying to throw our own buckets of water on it. We're not being forged by taking Jesus's hand in it. And if we do, oh my goodness, the beauty, the redemption, the hope that is ours for the taking, it's there for all of us.
God, it's beautiful. That's beautiful. Now, listen, I don't know where you're at today, but if you feel like you've had that raging wildfire, and you want someone to help you take Jesus' hand right now, pick up the phone, call that number. There is someone at the other end of that line who will just pray with you.
Yes.
Let it be Christ's presence in your situation so that you can forge a deeper faith. And he can grow things that you never imagined. I know you can't see it right now if you're in the middle of it. I understand. It's okay. He will be with you, his presence, Emmanuel. God, what a beautiful promise. So if you want to pray with somebody, again, just pick up the phone right now and make that call. And you know, Tammy, I know the book will encourage people.
Yes.
Because her testimony is encouraging people because of what God's done in her life.
And it's really, we didn't have a lot of time to dive into so much of it, but she wasn't always like on fire for Jesus. You know, she's had to go through that burn, that process, the crossroads in her life to finally surrender and say, we're here, we're coming along with you, Jesus. Cole and I, the whole family, we are here, we're showing up, we are all in. And Randy, she's got some chapters in this book on sin and repentance that hits really hard, but so good. So there's so much. So listen, if you want a copy of Brooke Martin's new book, Control Burn, just request that and we will get that out to you today. And just as Randy said, if you find yourself in a crossroads at one today, you're suffering and you're asking, where are you, God, in my suffering? You don't have to face it alone. You don't have to do it alone. Just as Randy said, call that number. Let us pray with you. Let us stand with you. Let us kneel with you, even if we're without words. We know the one who will carry us both in these times. He's doing it for so many around the world right now. So many in need that need to be carried, that need hope, that are suffering. And take a minute and watch this. We come out the other side. I want to tell you how you can be a part of helping to bring hope to these precious people.
When I experienced what we have seen this week, my heart was broken. The major cause of death and sicknesses have been the issue of water.
Pawa, do you know personally of someone who has lost their life to this water? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the loss of your children, because I know that in most cases, it's like we're all losing our children here, that the village children are all of our children. So you've been watching us as we're sitting here next to this water source that you can obviously see is just absolutely tainted and deadly. It is a tragic problem, but we know the solution. With your help, we can make a difference. With your help with Water for Life, we can assure this village will not have to worry about waterborne illness. They can have fresh, clean water, the Water for Life.
Just as John said, I feel the same. Every time I go into a village that is suffering, that is struggling, where there has been death because of their water source, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I realize before I leave that I have to be more than sorry. I have to do something, especially if it's been presented to me and now I know the problem. And as a child of God, I feel like he shows me, he gives me pictures, he gives me glimpses of needs all around me. And this is one today. That's the first time I've seen that along with you. So I've seen it, and I have to be more than sorry. I have to do something. And here's the beauty of the hope that I feel. I've also been there when we have been able to do something. And just as you saw with me right there, we can do something today, right now, for more than one village. We can do many villages. You know, there are more than 800 million people without access to clean drinking water. That seems like a humanitarian crisis.
It is, and you know, doesn't matter where we've gone over decades now, we've been out there in different countries, and we hear these stories, same thing over and over, and the solution is so simple. And you know, so many of you have joined us over the years in providing that well where we go in, we drill deep down to the clean water, the water that will give them life instead of taking their lives.
Yes.
And we put in a well that's going to last for typically a lifetime, about 7 years on average. And we've seen it. We've been there with the children when they danced, mm-hmm. when they celebrate, and what a beautiful celebration it is. You make that possible.
Yes, you do.
But as you've just seen, and as Tammy has seen, as mm-hmm. all of us have seen, mm-hmm. there is still a crisis.
Yes, there is.
There is still a need.
Yes, there is.
But guess what? You are still the answer.
Yeah.
It's very simple. Let me break it down for you. A gift of $48 right now will basically provide 10 people with clean drinking water for a lifetime. That's based on the average cost of a complete well being about $4,800. When we look around the various nations, the 350 wells that are the goal for this year, by the way, I'd love to exceed that, mm-hmm. but we're looking at 350 wells, average $4,800 cost. Some of you can drill a whole well, by the way. If you can do that, I would highly encourage that. You'll change a whole village mm-hmm. for a lifetime. You won't be hearing the stories like you heard today out of those places. But maybe a gift of $144, you'll provide water for 30 people. Whatever you can do, join us in giving life to others through Water for Life. Your gift today, right now, will make a difference. It will go a long way to saving lives. So please pick up the phone, go online, make the best gift you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You can be such a blessing today. I hope you're picking up the phone or going online and making that call. Give the best gift you can. And when you request Control Burn by Brooke Martin, we would love to send it to you because you will get hope. Brooke, what would you say to someone who may be in the middle of that fire and they're not sure where it's going to go?
I want to say that God is with you. And there is a species of flower called a fire follower, and its seeds are locked in impenetrable shells. They don't open from normal sunlight or rainfall. The only thing that cracks open these shells is the searing heat shock of fire. And I want to tell you that inside each of you are seeds of revelation and truth. And it takes sometimes the searing heat shock of suffering to crack open these seeds and of revelation of truth of God's power. You have more capacity for the things of God than you even know. And God wants to grow you in and through your suffering. He will not waste a hurt.
Amen. Brooke, mighty woman of God, unshakable faith, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your life journey with us. It inspires me, and I hope that it inspired you today too as you lean in to the one who knows you more than anybody and will carry you through it all. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Our bodies want to heal. We just tend to need to change the environment.
Dr. Josh Axe discusses natural remedies found in God's creation.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.